Mike Malevsky here, and it's my great pleasure to welcome two individuals into the studio, one very familiar voice, that would be Terry Snyder, in a different role. Welcome, Terry. Explain who you are today.
Good afternoon, Mike. I'm Terry Snyder. I serve as the AARP state president.
Oh, okay, and you have brought someone with you.
I have brought someone with me.
Please introduce.
New face, old face, very familiar around Alaska face. It is our state director, who normally is working out of our Anchorage office, and his name is Ken Osterkamp.
Hello, Palmer.
And hello, Ken. What brings you to our fair city on a beautiful day like today?
Well, it is a gorgeous day out there, and I was just commenting on this perfect view of Matanuska Peak you have out there, which makes me want to be out in the mountains. But to answer your question, Terry invited me out here to the Matsu Borough School District to hear a presentation on demographics of the school district, which was just fascinating.
Right. This has been a topic of interest for many years, and we have been doing these demographic meetings in one form or another for many years. And the whole point is, and if you looked around that room, some of the people you may recognize, some others there were political figures, there were people from real estate industry, if you will.
News media.
Yes, all kinds of people that were there listening pretty intently to that hour and a half.
There sure were, and it was hard to find a parking spot coming out from Anchorage. I arrived a few minutes late, and every single spot was taken, so yeah. Clearly a lot of interest.
And you had an opportunity to be on a relatively new room. The Matsu Borough School District refurbed an old elementary school back a few years ago, and after that, with a local internal labor, redid that meeting room into what we think is a good place. How did you enjoy it?
I thought it was a great space. It was very well laid out, and the presenters were excellent, and everything worked just as well as you could hope for a presentation like that.
So I listened carefully, and I noted you were both there, to mention of seniors, senior population changes, and I suspect that that was one area that you were particularly interested in. What did you take away as you listened to Neil and his compatriots?
Well, I've heard Neil's presentation and Gunnar's too quite a few times, as you might imagine, over the years. And it's always fascinating. The data always speak volumes, and there's always a lot more to cover than you have time usually in the presentation. The senior parts, of course, always perk my ears, and my role as state director for AARP in Alaska, that's our big focus, of course. We define seniors a little bit differently. We define them as 50-plus. We don't really call them seniors. We just call them the 50-plus because that's the floor for membership, full membership in AARP.
Okay.
I'm 49 myself.
So you're not a member.
I am a member.
But you are a member.
But there are certain discounts and things that don't apply to me because I can't produce the required documentation.
Okay.
But it's still a very good organization to be a member of, I would say, even before 50. So we work for the nonprofit side of AARP. We don't sell products or services. We're not involved with the insurance. In fact, we're not really even allowed to do much about them because of IRS rules.
Okay.
But we work on social advocacy. And the thing that we leverage the most to push our social advocacy goals in Alaska is our membership. And we have almost 90,000 members in Alaska, which makes us the largest membership organization in the state by a long shot. About one out of four voters in Alaska are AARP members. Now, you can't get 90,000 Alaskans to agree on anything, right? But where we find that confluence of opinion is where we push the hardest. And there are a lot of topics that are at that intersection of demographics and economics and, of course, the state budget crisis, I think, that are going to be very interesting to our members and we're going to weigh in on when the time's appropriate.
Hmm. So we've skipped over a little bit the role. You two have both leadership positions as president and executive director, essentially. So tell listeners how that works. You're working full-time, paid employment?
I'm paid staff, and Terry is our volunteer state president. It's a lot like a board.
Okay.
Terry is the equivalent of the president of the board, and I would be the executive director.
Okay. Now, you're relatively young. You've already identified your age.
And yet my hair is whiter than yours, I think.
Looking at that.
I was looking at me.
And, you know, in fact, three of us.
Yeah. Well, let's Keystone and Albino convention that year.
How long have you been associated with AARP?
I've actually been state director for over 9 years at this point. It's the longest job I've ever held.
Okay.
It's a fascinating position in that we've got so many issues we work on, from healthcare to financial security to livable communities. And we've got so many fascinating members with stories to tell and problems that we can often help solve. And the public policy angle, the volunteer angle, there's just so much going on that if you get bored, you're really not paying attention. It's just a fascinating job.
So as you go about these advocacy tasks, what means do you use to connect with people?
Boy, everything we can. We do everything from snail mail through the United States Postal Service, as anybody who ever opens their mailbox near the age of 50 will attest to. We send a lot of mail, kill a lot of trees. We do that. We're trying to move more into digital communications. We do email campaigns. We do social media, Facebook and Twitter. We have quite a reach on our Facebook account. And we do basically everything we can. We use a really neat technology called teletown halls, where we contract with a company that can dial 20,000 phone numbers in about 10 minutes. Okay. And what we'll do is we'll get somebody. We've had Senator Lisa Murkowski, Congressman Young. We had Senator Begich when he was in office. We have yet to do one with Senator Sullivan, but I'm sure we'll get around to it, where we get them on the phone, and then we call 20,000 of their closest friends, and people can push a button on their phone to get into a queue where we'll take their questions and patch them through, and they get to ask their questions directly.
Okay.
So it's really, there's so many different ways to reach out to people that we just try to use them all and use them according to their individual strengths.
So I'm curious, because we here at the station are familiar with both the IRS and, in our case, the FCC guidelines for political advocacy. And as a nonprofit, from your nonprofit arm, how does it work that AARP takes issues, for example, and advocates? How do you do that?
Well, we have a national policy council at the national level, and these are folks who are volunteers, some of them on the board, some of them not. And the National Policy Council actually goes through a very, very strict vetting process every year to look at issues and to update what we call our policy book, which if you go to aarp.org, I think it's /policy book, or just Google AARP policy book, the entire thing's online. It lays out our position on everything under the sun, and it makes a really good thing to sit on to see over the dash to drive if you're particularly short.
Pages.
It's huge. It's 700 pages long, and we update it fully about every 2 years or so.
I think something that's important here, too, is that AARP is a nonpartisan group, and we don't endorse candidates. So it's not like we go out and wave campaign signs for a candidate. It's basically we take position on issues that apply to seniors.
And we never have been in that position. We don't have a political action committee. We don't give money to candidates. We don't support or oppose candidates. In fact, one of the things we do that our members really seem to like them the most among our various programs is we host candidate forums. In fact, we did one in the Mat-Su here just a couple of months ago.
Radio Free Palmer was in.
Remember that.
We had 130 people maybe in the room. It was packed. And we had a full slate of candidates for borough mayor and borough assembly. And it was a great event. And we were just there to ask, of course, questions that are important to us about senior issues. But most of the time, I think we spent just listening to folks from the audience ask their questions and listening to the candidates lay out their positions on various topics.
And not just this is the first local one that we've held here, but they have done them in the past for state races as well. And again, not endorsing candidates, but trying to inform voters and members of candidates' positions on things and of issues that might be important to them.
In fact, you could say we have a rich history of ticking off people on both sides of the political aisle. Before I came on board, when President George Bush was pushing the Medicare Part D plan, AARP backed that strongly. And there were a lot of people on the Democratic side of the aisle who burned their membership cards or whatever they did because they weren't happy with us supporting a Republican president's plan. Then, of course, more recently with the Affordable Care Act under President Obama, we supported that. And people thought, oh, you're just
Medicaid expansion.
So are there any cards left? Well, you, obviously, because you've got 90,
there's plenty, yeah. You know, it goes up and down 1,000 any given month, but it, at the end of the year, we tend to be right around that 90,000 mark.
Sure.
And in fact, year to date, we've had positive membership growth in Alaska, and I think pretty much across the country. The organization resonates with a lot of people.
Well, yeah. Well, I'm happy to say I'm a member. I'd like to circle on back to a comment you made about not having to wait until you're a certain age to become a member. Do you find there are a lot of people that join earlier, or how's that work?
They don't break out our membership statistics by age, so I don't know. I would suspect probably not.
Okay.
In fact, one of our struggles is to make AARP as relevant as possible to as many Alaskans as possible. If you're talking about senior issues, a lot of the issues that become issues when you're a senior are things that you probably ought to be preparing for when you're even younger, saving for retirement,
right,
taking care of your own health. There's a lot of things that you need to start dealing with, preferably in your 20s and 30s, that a lot of us just ignore until we're 40 or 50.
I'll give
a personal example. I didn't even have a 401k until I joined AARP at age 40.
Oh.
So, you know, I was not a good example to other people, and now I preach the gospel, of course. But there are, I think that there are certain things that you can do to make different transitions in life easier as you age. And the earlier that you start on those, the better. And a big part of our job is just getting the word out on what your choices are and what the consequences of those choices might be.
Okay. Now, you mentioned 9 years. Classic question. Over those 9 years, what have you observed as changing either topics, focus, change of attention? 9 years ago, it was one way. Now, are there some things that are similar or other topics that have popped up?
I would say our core issues don't really change much. We are always working to protect and strengthen Social Security and Medicare. Those are the two biggies.
All right.
We believe that a sound retirement plan relies on Social Security as one part of a three-legged stool, with the other part being private investments and a 401k in savings. And the topic that I would say that popped up that wasn't there is Medicaid expansion here in the state of Alaska.
Oh, okay, right.
What's interesting, if you kind of back up or go up to a higher level, I guess, and look down at all these issues that are swirling around year in and year out, a lot of them deal with the choices that people make when they're younger and how it affects their health and their financial security as they age. And we seem to struggle with that as a nation, much less as a state or individuals. We are a country that spends more per person on healthcare than any other industrialized country on the planet. And by all key indicators, we get less for it. We die younger. We have more chronic diseases, things like that. So clearly, we're not doing something right, something very important. And I think a lot of the discussion, the argumentation that we see out there in the political arena, and we're going to be seeing more of it here because it's a presidential election year coming up next year that's already started. I think that a lot of the arguments there are around how best to tackle this. We know we haven't solved it. We know that it's not a great thing that when you lose your job, you lose your health insurance.
Right.
We know that having a donut hole where you're getting help paying for your medications that suddenly disappears once you've spent a certain amount and doesn't come back until you've spent a certain amount out of pocket, it just doesn't make sense. So we have to solve these problems. There's different conservative, liberal, Republican, Democratic ideas for doing that. But I don't think we've settled those really important questions yet, and we need to be looking broader, looking at other countries, and keep talking about it without the vitriol and the finger pointing, but with the idea that we're all trying to solve the same underlying problems.
And the last part of this morning's demographic presentation dealt with the other large issue, which is the fiscal problem the state faces.
Oh, that little problem.
Right. And so I would suspect AARP would be interested in following that discussion, because depending upon how a solution is developed, there would be differential impact upon senior population.
There sure will. And it's going to affect a lot of people up here. Alaska's never, we're never average, right? We're always the best or the worst at something, depending on what the something is. That's the same when it comes to demographics, even. We have, I think we're the second youngest state in the country after Utah. But we're aging at the fastest rate. We have a higher percentage of our population who are baby boomers than any other state. And it's just a weird dichotomy that even though we're so young, that we have to prepare for this silver tsunami, as some people call it,
right,
that's coming down on us. So there are choices that we have to make there. There is a social safety net in place today that has some good parts and some bad parts, and we want to preserve the good parts and work at eliminating the bad parts or reshaping them into something better. So we do have an agenda. We work with a lot of partners. We're not trying to do anything really on our own. It's a matter of identifying all the major players in any given policy arena, working with them to make things better. So, but getting back to that fiscal gap question, that's been around forever, right? We've always dodged the bullet. Oil prices would spike up.
But now someone is shooting with a machine gun.
Yeah, now we're taking heavy fire. But I think in the presentation today, it's always presented as we have all these choices in front of us. And this may be more of a personal observation. I'm not sure we do have many choices. I think that we have this big budget gap and we have some tools to fill it, but none of them will work by themselves. It's like you're trying to build a 6-foot-tall wall, and all you've got for material to build it is 6 1-foot-tall bricks. Well, the only way that 6-foot-tall wall is going to get built is if you pile those 6 1-foot-tall bricks one on top of the other, every single one of them, and then you're there. So we've got the same situation, I think, with the budget gap. We're going to have to do a little bit of everything to make up that gap. There's going to have to be some cuts, I imagine, to state government services. There's going to have to be some new revenue in the form of taxes, to use the T word. There's going to have to be some alterations to the way that the permanent fund is paid out. All of that stuff, and again, this is just my personal observation, I just don't see how we can cover a 50% budget gap to the tune of $3 billion a year without using all of that. The math simply doesn't work out. If someone comes up with a magic solution, hey, I'm all for it, but I don't see it at this point.
Okay.
All right. I just shared with Ken the map that you and I saw a few weeks ago from the assembly meeting of the demographics within the core area and just how many exemption properties are in all of those parcels. And that, again, is one of those things we have to take a good look at. Well, we want to give everybody, pay the least amount that they want to. We also, people want services. And that's the problem here in Mat-Su, is we have a lack of infrastructure and we're still growing our service sector. And we still depend on government for a lot of that. And you heard today that, the school district is the largest employer, borough being second. And while everybody, wants the least amount of government we have, those also are good paying jobs here. And so it is going to be a very balancing act for the state to figure out, and communities, even right down to locally, what our fair share really is, so that we don't just drive everybody and all communities off the cliff.
Okay. Well, Mike Malevsky here, and I've been speaking with Ken and Terry, who are in leadership positions here in the state with AARP. And my understanding is, now, it's AARP, but how best to describe that? Do I say the whole name out, or I just say AARP? I'd like to finish with that.
That's a funny question. So it used to be the American Association of Retired Persons.
Right.
And then somebody decided before I came on board that it was just AARP, not even the AARP, but just AARP. And so we would correct people when they said American Associations of Retired Persons, or if they said, God forbid, ARP. But then recently, we've started an advertising campaign called You Don't Know ARP. If you don't think that AARP works on food insecurity, then you don't know ARP. And they're good ads. They're funny. But so apparently anything goes.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you. I can say AARP or ARP, and I feel comfortable with either one. Hope you have a good day, and thank you for coming in today and sharing some observations and information with listeners about AARP.
Thanks for having us, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Okay.